Grace and peace to you in the name of our God and Jesus Christ who forgives all of our sins. Amen. And in that forgiveness, God certainly does turn the world upside down. That's our theme for Lent. It's turning the world upside down. And I think that as we begin this season, what better way to begin a Lenten season than with forgiveness? It's something we all need. It's something we all need to offer to people. And it's maybe one of the hardest things that we'll ever have to do. With many of the things that I think that have been happening in our world lately, I think that what we hear in this gospel is enough to make you even a little bit angry. Angry at Jesus, angry at this idea of forgiveness, because it's much bigger than we would ever imagine. It's one of those times where I might even think, I've been thinking this last week, that this good news, the gospel, sometimes doesn't even feel like good news, if we admit it. But let's hear Jesus out. Let's put him on trial, if you will. See what we think after we focus on this parable with the good news of forgiveness. It's actually a story response to, we hear this response that the parable illustrates what Jesus is teaching to his disciples about what forgiveness is. And he starts by giving them some practical advice, saying basically, you know, if you've got an issue with someone in the community, take it up with them first. It's great practical sense. If you have a problem, don't go to someone else and say, I've got this problem. You know what they did to me? That is what amounts to gossip. So first, go to the person. Tell them, I got this problem with you. You know what you did to me? Do you know how you hurt me? Sometimes they don't even know. So Jesus has given this practical advice. He's saying, you know, first see if the two of you can work it out. And then if you can't, then go to the next level. Go to another person. Bring in a couple more people. See if you can work it out. And if you can't, finally, the last step is bring in the church. Take it to the gathered. Take it to all those gathered people of God to try to find a resolution. And finally, if there is no way to resolve this conflict with them, then let that person be to you as a Gentile and a tax collector. And here we might feel a little bit better, right? A Gentile and a tax collector. You just think about who those people are, and the words, the names themselves, right? They exude bad people, outsiders, someone who sins against you and just won't budge to make things right with you should be treated like a Gentile or a tax collector, a bad person on the outside of the community, right? Only think about who Jesus is. Jesus is the one who actively sought out Gentiles and tax collectors. So it turns out that Jesus' idea of forgiveness might be different than we usually think. His idea of forgiveness actually is quite a bit different than maybe how we ordinarily would practice forgiveness. For how could we seek out someone who intentionally wrongs us and refuses to admit his or her wrong? How could we even forgive them once, let alone seven times? Jesus says, whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. Forgiveness, it turns out, isn't about settling accounts. It's not about insisting that someone apologize or make up for their sin. Forgiveness is about surrendering your right to hold a grudge, about releasing yourself, unbinding yourself, loosing yourself from perpetual torment, from whatever has bound you. Peter probably thinks this sounds okay. But forgiveness has to have its limits, right? And so you know, there's times when we might have conflicts with somebody where we're a relationship. We know the relationship just can't be preserved. So he says, Lord, if another member of the church, and by the way, in the Greek, in the original language, this isn't actually, he's not even asking about a member of the church. He simply says, if a brother. So this makes us, it sounds a little better because we think we're just talking about the insiders, those within the church, maybe those within our family. But it is, if a brother sins against me, how often should I forgive? As many as seven times? And you know, this sounds, if you think about what Peter's asking, Peter's setting the bar pretty high, because seven is a lot of times to offer forgiveness for someone who continues to sin against you. But Jesus sets the bar even higher, putting forgiveness just out of reach. He says, let's try 77 times. The point that Jesus is trying to make is even more ridiculous than it sounds, because it's not about 77 times. It's not about counting. In fact, that's exactly what Jesus is saying, is it shouldn't be about counting. Whatever the number, whether it's 77, or again, there's a little bit of a textual difference here in the original interpretation, as we heard at Kids in Christ Time. Angie was absolutely correct when she was saying 70 times 7. The translation, the literal translation is something more like, instead you should forgive 70 times 7 times. But Jesus is saying, it's not about numbers, it's not about keeping track, whether it's 70 times 7 or 1,020,000,020, which I realize isn't a real number, and that's the point I'm trying to make. Jesus is using an absurd number to make a point. Forgive beyond your ability, beyond your ability to keep track. Because if you're keeping track, if you're counting, if you're worried about settling scores or being even, it's actually not forgiveness. So then, to illustrate beyond what he's trying to instruct here, what he's trying to teach the disciples, then he tells this parable that turns the world upside down and actually puts forgiveness now not just beyond reach, but maybe even out of sight for many of us. Tells a story about a servant who has this absurd debt, impossible to pay off, a debt of 10,000 talents. And 10,000 talents is so large that it's nearly impossible to calculate. The point of telling a story with such a large debt is to say that there is no possible way that the servant could repay this kind of debt. So if you're trying to calculate how much is 10,000, it's too much. It's impossible. It would be a debt that would take something like 150,000 years of day labor to pay off. And so this servant comes to the king and says, have patience on me and I will pay you everything, he says. He knows what 10,000 talents is. There's no way that he's going to pay off this debt. And somehow yet he thinks maybe he has the king snowed. Good word to use today, huh? It's fooled. Has the word, the king fooled. You know, that, oh, he's letting me off the hook. He thinks I'm actually going to pay this? How could he even begin to think that he's going to pay that back? But then there's the king, who is gracious beyond measure. The king is willing to forgive this outrageous debt. Ultimately, what this parable is pointing to is the impossible debt that Jesus would soon forgive on the cross. We began worship today, and we heard these words of forgiveness, something like, so go and forgive because you have been forgiven. A debt of an absurd amount. A bazillion and 20 sinners throughout all time. A bazillion and 20 or an unfathomable debt was forgiven. Your debt and my debt on the cross of Jesus. And that is a beautiful, that's an amazing thought, until suddenly the parable hits a speed bump, because right after this servant has been forgiven his insurmountable, his absurd debt, this same guy goes out and shows ungraciousness to someone who owes him a relatively small amount compared to what he had owed. 100 denarii, which could be paid off maybe in a couple of months. It sounds like a pretty big debt for those of us who, you know, if we have debts, but it's a couple of months compared to 150,000 plus years. And we shake our heads at this unforgiving servant and say, what is wrong with him? Doesn't he get it? But he doesn't get it. And I think the point is, neither do we sometimes, maybe often. We're likely to see that unforgiving servant as this merciless, cruel figure, a criminal in cartoons or something, sneaking around, lurking behind dark corners. But he's just like us, an average person who's really struggling to understand forgiveness, who's really struggling maybe to receive it from someone or to offer it to someone. This one has been handed a new way of life. He has been loosed by the king, but he can't accept it because he's still living in this way of keeping track, of counting, of accounting and keeping track of what he's been given or what others might owe him. The point is to get rid of all that way of living. He can't accept it, so his heart remains bound to all those old ways of settling accounts. You know, sometimes it's easier to keep someone else bound. Sometimes it's easier even to keep our own hearts bound and hold on to the resentment or insist that forgiveness can be given when the accounts are settled our way, your way, or in a way that proves that, you know what, I'm the one in the right after all. The other person is wrong. Jesus is telling us forgiveness is bigger than that. Forgiveness isn't about proving that I'm in the right or settling accounts. It's about inviting change and transformation and new life. Forgiveness opens up a future that the past has closed off. Forgiveness means that you're willing to unbind, you're willing to loose all that's happened in your past up to this point in time. And until you can do that, nothing can change. Your heart is bound, absolutely stuck. Sometimes we might not even realize that we're in need of forgiveness, either giving or receiving it. But if you really search yourself, if you feel anger or resentment over something or someone, it might be time to go to God in prayer. Forgiveness is an act of release that says that the past does not need to dictate my future. Doesn't need to identify who I am, even if it might be somebody else's wrong that's been done to you. And if you're in a place in your life where you recognize a need for forgiveness, whether it be receiving or giving, I think one of the first things that we do is to hear again that God forgave us first, and so then we can make a conscious decision that says, I want to forgive. And know that forgiveness isn't just, it's not just something that happens and then you're done. It takes time, it's a process, and it's hard. You know that. You might find yourself in life in a difficult place where you just can't forgive another person or a situation or even yourself. Or you might find in life, have you ever gone through those motions? Have you ever said the words, I forgive you, or it's all good, or it's all forgotten? You say those words and yet you still feel bound? Something didn't work? You still feel like something is needed to be done. That's because I think often we do think of forgiveness as just being able to say those words and then it's over. But forgiveness can be a very long process of working through this and unbinding our hearts, untying the knots bit by bit, strand by strand. Whether you think that you can't bring yourself to forgive or receive forgiveness, or you can't feel the freedom of forgiveness, even though you keep on trying, know that forgiveness is this, can be a long process, and I think it cannot be done without God. Without Jesus, forgiveness just might be impossible in many situations. As impossible as paying off a ridiculous debt of 10,000 talents. But forgiveness is both a command and a promise from Jesus. And sometimes we need to hear the command from Jesus, saying, forgive, just do it. And sometimes we need to hear it as a promise. Forgive, just do it, because it will free you from the terrible burden that's been binding your heart. And that finally is the meaning of the hard way that this parable ends. It sounds terrible. The king, in all of his anger, handed this unforgiving servant over to be tortured until he would pay his entire debt. As impossible and as ridiculous as it would be to pay that. And then Jesus says, so my heavenly Father will also do to every one of you if you do not forgive your brother or your sister from your heart. And so it sounds like we are condemned forever to pay an impossible debt. But friends, it's not that God has to do this or does this to anyone else when we don't forgive. It's not that God has to do this or does this to any of us. It's what we do to ourselves when we insist on keeping track. When we insist on continuing through life with our hearts bound, when we insist on, you know, when God gives us the silver platter right in front of us of forgiveness, and we take it, but then we leave and we go out and keep on living our lives as if it was never given to us. If we can't let go of a wrong that's done to us, if we can't get to a place where we decide that I am not going to let this torture me anymore or define me or eat me alive with resentment, then that new future with God is closed off for us and we'll be bound to that past event or even to that person. It's ironic that in forgiveness, you know, we want to separate ourselves from the person, but if we don't find forgiveness, what actually happens is we are bound to that person. That slave who had been forgiven was simply perpetuating these old human patterns and tendencies. Even though he had been forgiven, he hadn't allowed the forgiveness to change his heart and to live accordingly. So forgiveness is hard. Maybe it's impossible without Jesus. The good news, though, is that even when we're not ready, even when we feel like we can't forgive, God has already offered forgiveness to all with this one ridiculously large and generous gesture. And God has the power to heal us from all that binds us. We don't need to do anything to earn it. It's already there waiting for us. We only need to live in that forgiveness that's offered so that we can live freely as God wants us to. It's not a need that is anything that we have to do to deserve it. It's a need so that we can live freely with God, so that our hearts may be unbound and freed. So we live in forgiveness. I invite you to this week, especially in this season of Lent, to practice this throughout the season. Consider who perhaps you either need to give or to receive forgiveness to, and figure out what it's going to take. Maybe it's going to start with those words, I forgive you, or all is good. Maybe those words are going to come much later. But start today with the idea that I will not be bound by this. And God help me in the love of Jesus Christ. Amen.